Hi, this is Jim, Wonder in Reality. Quick message about the fact that man is created in God's image. This is a glorious truth, and it's in Genesis, and it's a foundational truth. But I want to give one example, and I say this in all reverence and humility towards our great and awesome God Almighty, the Creator of everything, and His Son Jesus Christ, who has given us new life and, yes, the purpose of our life, to walk with Him, to know Him, and to fellowship with Him. Amen. Forever. And this is part two of this series. I want to just keep giving messages about this, but I want to hone in on one thing. We talk about that truth that God created man into His image. And we have three parts, just like God has three parts. We have a spirit, a soul, and a body. So we have our spirit being, which is the real us. We have a soul, which is our mind and our will and our emotions. And we have a body. Three parts, but we're one person. God Almighty has three parts. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, there's many other truths related to this, but I just recently had this kind of, might call it a revelation. You know, a deep truth in the Bible is, and in God's dealing with us, is that He tests man. He tests us, every individual on the earth. He tests them. Famous verse in Jeremiah 17:10 says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." And it's all throughout the Bible. And it's to put it into our into everyday language, God is continually testing us. He's watching us to see what we do, to see how we handle situations, to see what we do with His glorious truth and with His Son Jesus Christ. And a great man of God says, you know, when God gives us a touch of His presence, He'll see what we do with it. And if we're faithful with it, He might give us more. If not, well, He's patient and long-suffering and continues to work with us. And this is just throughout the whole Bible. I mean, you just every book of the Bible, this is a truth. Now, and again, I say this with reverence, but if you look at human beings, we are testing all the people around us. If you really look at what we're doing, we are testing them and monitoring what they do, and we are judging them in certain ways, and we are determining through our assessment whether or not, for example, we're going to spend time with them or not. You know, being a human being on the earth is challenging and difficult at times, and it's hard, and we have to, a big thing is having boundaries, right? We have to be mature and have boundaries, and we let the good in and keep the bad out. There's a lot of bad, there's a lot of good. And we as humans can only have, for example, at most 5 best friends, maybe 3, 4, 5 at most. And it's a good friend is hard to find. But then we have our close family, right? We might have a spouse, and we have our children. Then we have just a few close best friends. And then outside of that, we might have a wider circle of people that we know. It might be anywhere from 2 to 3 to 30 or 40 or 50 people. And then other people might even know more. But the point is, it's all about boundaries and about testing these people all the time. We are doing this every day. Every day. Strangers, people we come in contact with, people we've known in the past, we're having to test the situations. And if we get along with someone and they pass our quote-unquote test, well, we might spend more time with them. We might talk with them. We might get to know them and want to be a friend of theirs. Other times, we cut them off. We don't want to have anything to do with them. We try to get them out of our mind. I've lived long enough now where I've met a whole lot of good people and I've met a whole lot of bad people. And it can be difficult. But my point is, we are testing people all the time. This is an example of how we are made in God's image. I say this in reverence because we are nothing without Him. But all of these different things that many of the things we do as human beings are evidence and proof that we're made in His image. We can love and we can choose what we do with all the time. We're choosing what we do and who we serve. And now God doesn't serve anyone, right? He's God Almighty. Amen. And we come to Him in reverence and fear we're honored to even be in His family. But we can choose. There's power in our words. There's power in our actions. And this testing, it's a fascinating thing. That's what we're doing all the time. I just wanted to give this as an example. And I do want to say, someone may come back and say, oh, how could man be made in God's image? Look at the mess the world is in and how bad people are. Well, let's look at the big picture. We live in a fallen world. It's dysfunctional. There's a lot of bad and evil in the world. There's a lot of good. There's probably more good than bad. But this is the result of the fall, and sin has come into the world. Man's fallen nature. Also, the devil. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it too in abundance. So, in another sense, living on the earth is somewhat of a test, generally just to see where someone will go for eternity. Right there. This is like a temporary life. It's a life of probation. It's a dress rehearsal. It is a test to see where someone will go for eternity. And we're tested in so many ways. I think of the verse, remember when Jesus said, "To he who has been given much, of him they will ask more. To whom much is given, much will be required. He who has, he said, he who knew his master's will and didn't do it shall be beaten with many blows. He who did not know his master's will and didn't do it shall be beaten with few blows." So there's another testing right there, where if we're given a lot, then a lot's required of us. And so I'll continue in the next message. Thank you. I do want to get this into this message, one final point. Yes, living on the earth is hard. It's hard for all of us on different levels, and it's dysfunctional. We could look at all the negatives and just be absolutely, down and depressed about all of the evil, the bad stuff, the bad things, the tragic things happening. But again, let's look at the big picture. There's more good than bad. There's much more good than bad. In fact, there's four births every second and two deaths. So in a sense, it's almost like there's two times more good happening. Yes, there's people dying, but there's people being born and new life and all of that. But one point is, the difficulty on the earth and the dysfunction should bring us to Jesus Christ and to God through that, when it's difficult, I mean, really, if you look at it, at humans, usually it takes those difficult times and hard times and dysfunction to bring a person to God. If everything's going great, someone doesn't realize their need for God. If everything's great and everything's wonderful and everything's going so well and they're healthy and wealthy and happy and they've got all these great things, and they, let's say somebody like that does not know Jesus Christ, and everything's just going along wonderfully, that's a dangerous place to be. Jesus said, "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who laugh. Woe to you who are full. Woe to you when men speak well of you, for you've received your consolation. Blessed are you poor. Blessed are you who weep. Blessed are you who hunger. Blessed are you when men say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice in that day, for great is your reward in heaven." So that the difficulty and dysfunction should bring us to God. That should be something that brings us to Him, that humbles us, that causes us to realize, hey, I'm nothing, I can do nothing, I need God, I need Jesus Christ. And it's human nature to try to be our own God, to try to make it and try to be strong and be our own God. That's just human nature, and it's tragic. But let's just remember, coming to Jesus Christ is the whole key. Coming to God in humility through His Son Jesus. Amen.